Oh, hello, and welcome to Al Dente Rigamortis. I'm Review Cultist.
I'm Mikey, the E stands for evil.
And I'm the Gamer in Yellow.
And we're here to discuss those internet stories, most creepy and most pasta, and be critically silly doing it. And tonight we have, for Icker Fall, a double feature.
If we don't talk about either of them for an excessively long amount of time.
I mean, okay.
Weirder things have happened.
Fair.
Please continue.
The Damp Lady and Wolves of the Stillwood. So, yeah, we're doing... assuming I don't have to, future me doesn't have to cut all this shit out, or like,
you want to redo the intro where I don't interrupt you? I can chime in after and not
fucking
up like
hello.
That.
Hello,
not that far.
So, yeah, we originally were going to do the Damp Lady and just the Damp Lady. However, that sounded wrong.
crazy.
Yeah. But the story was very short. So we figured we'd find another short one on the submitted page for Icker Fall and do sort of a double feature, just so we had, you know, this wasn't going to be like 15 minutes.
You never know. Weirder things have happened. We might talk about this for 2 hours.
That's true. We'll see. We'll see how it goes. So, so we're going to start off with The Damp Lady. It's by possibly Tim. A person named Tim. It, unfortunately, on the site, it just says it's posted by the admin. However, according to one of the commenters underneath the story, they reference Tim as a potential author of the story. So, yeah, got to credit those authors of these stories. But I digress. You can check it out at Icker Falls, the website, under the submitted stories. And we'll just kind of dive into the rundown now. So this is a cautionary story told to bratty children who won't eat their vegetables and is reprinted from a document by a Miskatonic University member about folklore in Icker Falls. In the story, a prince refuses to eat his green and purple fish. And later that night, he begins having a dream where the fish looms over his bed, telling him that he'll have it one way or another. Years later, that prince becomes a king and brings home a wife who is damp all the time and has unblinking eyes and wears green and purple. You can kind of see where this is going. Upon being married, there is a scream, and when people check the royal bedroom that night, the king is found insane in his bed, and there is a green and purple fish on the pillow next to him. The child this story is told to is then told to eat his greens or the damp lady will come for you next. And that's basically the story. It's very short and sweet, like cautionary folk tale, told to bratty children about in Icker Falls, and is somewhat related to, apparently like the Ethelore summer. And how it affected folklore in Icker Falls, apparently. So
just to be clear, when it was discovered that there's a fish next to him, it said he was mad.
Which it could insane.
Just mean, that could just mean angry, though.
This is why I put insane, because I fucking hate the English language. And I knew that you would immediately think that, like, oh no, he's just mad, he's angry.
Honestly, me reading it, I thought he was just angry. He's like, God damn it, and he has to figure out what the hell's going on.
No.
I didn't immediately go to insanity.
I always assume insanity.
Yeah, of course.
But yeah, that's the rundown for the story. Turns out the king married a fish because he refused to eat that fish when he was a kid.
Seems legit.
Yeah. I suppose we'll move on to Everyone Tolerates the Grammar Inquisitions at this point. And I have one. So Hiram Whippoorwill, Miskatonic University Press. So now this might be just the way the last name is spelled. Since names have any number of ways to be spelled. But ignoring that fact...
Are you grammar positioning someone's name?
I am, because it bugged me.
Wow.
Whippoorwill is spelled... So Hiram Whippoorwill in the story, like what's quoted, is Whippoorwill. The proper spelling for whippoorwill, at least the name of the bird that it's that it comes from, or that the name stems from, is Whippoorwill. And I have a little bit more about the whippoorwill situation later in my actual thoughts. But yeah, it's a nitpick. It's a super nitpick, and I'm not going to stand here and declare that like there's any right way to say somebody's last name, because literally I've heard names that have like last names that have been spelled so bizarrely, but like that's just how it's evolved as it's gone on through the ages. So that's how language works. I understand that. I wanted to. In case this wasn't a typo or something, I just wanted to clarify.
Fair enough.
Yeah. But after that, I actually have in my note. I have one thing in my notes. Leave the conjunction junction to Mikey. The E stands for evil. Okay. So I'm going to surrender the grammar position to Mikey.
All right. So I have a conjunction junction, as you know.
Mm-hmm. And next stop, conjunction junction. Doot, doot.
And one day, there was a fish for dinner, and the fish on the prince's plate was green and purple, and the prince wouldn't eat it because he said it looked nasty. But that night, the prince woke up screaming, saying he dreamed that a huge green and purple fish stood over his bed and said, "You'll have me, brat. One way or another." And every year, on the anniversary of not eating his fish, he dreamed the same terrible dream. And the king married her. And the night after they married, there was a terrible scream from the royal bedroom. And they found the king lying in the big royal bed, completely mad. And the damp lady was nowhere to be seen, but on the pillow beside the king was a little green and purple fish. And the king was mad for the rest of his life. And if you don't eat your greens now, you little creep. Finn.
So you literally just read the story, basically.
You almost read the entire story. Yeah, no. There's a reason I was like, leave conjunction junction, because I was reading, it's like, wow.
Yeah, when you skim over it, well, and the start of three out of the four paragraphs start with "and," it's like,
Yep.
Yeah. And that last sentence, the next sentence continues it, but it doesn't start with the one of the conjunction junction words I use, so it wasn't included, so it doesn't make any sense.
Yep. Yeah, which means that sentence in itself is not put together correctly.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason that Mikey does the conjunction junction and such is to highlight all the sentences in the story that start with words that they shouldn't, like "ands," "buts," and stuff like that. Because there's always better words.
Indeed. So, is that your grammar position then, Mikey?
Yes.
All right. Gamer.
Okay. This first one was a bit of a run-on. Once upon a time, you brat, there was a spoiled little prince who wouldn't eat his dinner if he didn't want to. And no one could make him because he was a prince. Like, that's all one sentence, commaed out three times.
Yeah.
So it's like, it's kind of on the fence of being a run-on, I took really long breaks. Yeah. Commas. I took really long breaks on each one, though, so it kind of seemed easier. Yeah. They were almost like periods. The way I did was just, I flipped it around a little bit, too, the way I rewrote it, too. Once upon a time, you brat, there was a spoiled little prince who wouldn't eat his dinner, period. No one could make him if he didn't want to, because he's a prince. The whole, like, if he didn't want to was in an odd location before, so I shifted it toward the end. This next one, it does have a front and. That's not the reason it's here, though. It also has a useless comma, and the split of it is weird. And one day, there was a fish for dinner, and the fish on the prince's plate was green and purple, comma, and the prince wouldn't eat it because he said it looked nasty. There's two commas in between there. I didn't say the first one. But the useless comma is the first one, where it's, and one day, comma, there was a fish for dinner. Where that could just be one day there was a fish for dinner, then comma that, and the fish on the prince's plate was green and purple, period. And then move on from that to the prince wouldn't eat it because he said it looked nasty. I don't know why I keep saying nasty, like nasty.
I was just saying, like, you're like Nevada.
Yeah, certain words I just put weird accents on lately. I don't know why.
Have you just been watching a lot of American, like, TV or something?
No, not that I'm aware of. Am I still Canadian? A boot.
Oh, a boot. To be fair, like is kind of Canadian. I think I've heard that with Canadian, the Canadian accent, like the overpowering Canadian accent. So,
mm-hmm. Or I just like saying words funny.
That's fair.
Mm-hmm. Either way, moving on. Next one. What did I do with this? It's a run-on. I wrote combine at the start of it. I don't know why. And the night after they married, there was a terrible scream from the royal bedroom, comma, and they found the king laying in the big royal bed, completely mad, comma, and the damp lady was nowhere to be seen, but on the pillow beside the king was a little green and purple fish. So that's like all one sentence commented a couple times.
Oh, Jesus, yep. Right. Yeah, holy crap.
So, front and gone, capitalized the T on the, and then the break I put in after... him being angry / insane, who knows, where the original was. I know.
Sorry. I don't want to fight you. It's just like it's a knee jerk reaction. It's like, nope,
but it's not. Yeah, I know. I get it. He could be angry for the rest of his life. You don't know.
Sure.
That's how like tyrannical, he could be mildly irate. Show up. Yeah. Either way. The original is, and they found the king laying in the big royal bed completely mad, comma, and the damp lady was nowhere to be seen, blah 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 blah. But if you just put a period at completely mad and then just continue, like, remove the and just continue writing with completely mad period, the damp lady was nowhere to be seen, blah 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 blah.
Honestly, actually, another thing I might fix is like, so that first sentence there, like that, with like the correction for it. Yeah, so the night after they married, there was a terrible scream from the royal bedroom, comma, where they found the king lying in the big royal bed, completely mad, period.
Yes, that is more better. Because there are a lot of ands.
Yeah.
I know words.
Mm-hmm.
We English good here.
Yeah, that's true statement.
Yeah, sure, why not?
I say with a question mark.
Mm-hmm. Either way, that's the end of my grammar, Nilla.
Okay. So, on to actual thoughts. Going to start with this sentence here. But that night, the prince woke up screaming, saying he dreamed that a huge green and purple fish stood over his bed and said, "You'll have me, brat, one way or another." And my mind immediately went, oh no. Phrasing a little bit. And then... next one. And every year on the anniversary of not eating his fish, he dreamed the same terrible dream. One day when he was king, he came home from holiday with his sweetheart and said he was going to marry her. Yeah, that's kind of where I saw this was going, like right from the dream sequence onto this. Like, given the threat that happened, is like, you'll have me one way or another. It's like, ah.
Oh, because you went, like, sexual with it?
Yeah, because I get, like, I'm sorry. Like, just the way that was said, it's like, you'll have me, brat, one way or another. Like, ugh.
Well, when you're eating your food, you're having dinner.
I, like, listen, I'm not gonna kink shame, but but yeah, no, I saw like that especially as soon as he's like, oh, technically his childhood sweetheart.
You're not wrong.
But yeah, as soon as he brought home a sweetheart and they were gonna marry, and like, it's like, oh, this story is gonna end up with her being, and especially when it continued to describe his sweetheart as damp constantly and like bulging mm-hmm. eyes, it's like he brought home a fish lady. Which I actually find
love
very
to the fish. Yeah. Love to the fish.
Well, you know what? This actually is a good segue to my next quote and comments. So at the very end of the story, this like childhood like story that we get, we find out that it is a reprinted with permission from Ethelore Voices. Effects on phenolic toxicity in our city. In our city. effects of phenolic toxicity on the folkloric imagination in Icker Falls, Mason County. And that is from Hiram Whippoorwill, Miskatonic University Press, 2007. So I thought this was very interesting that this story is an Icker Falls tale and applies a Cthulhu mythos connection. Because, like, Miskatonic University is straight up the penultimate, like, one of the penultimate locations in Lovecraft country. Like, in the Cthulhu mythos, Miskatonic River Valley is a made-up county in Massachusetts that Lovecraft put a shit ton of towns, like, spooky fictional towns in. And Miskatonic University is his, like, penultimate, like academic establishment. Like, next to, basically, next to Arkham. It's basically like the penultimate, like Cthulhu mythos related like location, there's also other things like the use of the name of the author. I'm not sure if this was intentional or not, but so whippoorwills are a bird found in New England, and in folklore in New England, it's often considered a psychopomp. Or like a reaper of souls, sort of like the Grim Reaper, or like basically a ferryman of souls. I think like the old like story is like when you hear their calls, it's usually when somebody is like on their deathbed, and when they stop calling, when they stop like singing their song, that's when the person usually dies, and it means that like the whippoorwills are ferrying the soul to the underworld. And it actually comes up as with that exact sort of situation in one of the Lovecraft stories entitled The Dunwich Horror, where like a character dies and the whippoorwills can be heard in the distance. And like their whippoorwill call is like, I don't know if I'll be able to whistle this properly or if it'll even like pick up, but
I think your phone just went off.
Yeah, no, that's But yeah, so the other thing I know I just realized is like, yeah, like the story, the story itself, like the damp lady herself, could be a nod to like Deep Ones, like while he was on when he came home from holiday from Innsmouth, he brought home his sweetheart from Innsmouth, one of those Innsmouth girls, you know, completely damp and bulging wide eyes and dressed in green and purple. Turn into a fish. Yeah, so I thought that was an interesting, like, sort of way of connecting the Icker Falls stories, like setting it in the same world as like the Cthulhu mythos. Because it wouldn't be such a hard pull to like throw this into like the Cthulhu mythos, like for a campaign or something. Like your investigators go to Icker Falls from like a Cthulhu game.
Yeah.
Also, it's an interesting mention of the Ethelore connection, like at the end there, like since Icker Falls has a bunch of their historical tragedies and issues revolving around the Ethelore chemical spill, or the Ethelore summer, where that ultimately like killed and like made a lot of people sick in the town. It's actually one of the reasons why, like, the town was like a ghost town for so long.
Was there a story specifically about that?
Yeah, I think I believe so. If not like directly, like there was a couple of stories that mention it, that mention the Ethel okay. Summer in the community guide compilation. But yeah, I don't fully understand. The other thing is, though, like, I don't fully understand the connection to the folklore. Like, perhaps it's the green and purple fish thing. Like, maybe people saw purple and green and purple fish, like, in the river, like, in the contaminated river as a result. Or maybe it's just, like, an old wives' tale that popped up around the time of the spill, or the Ethelor summer, that, like, affected like maybe like why people like why you're not eating your greens, it's because they're contaminated, but like you have to eat them anyway. So it's almost like a tragic story because like they're being told to eat their greens when that's part of the reason they're getting sick because the food's contaminated. But yeah, I thought that was I just wanted to take note of like that last little bit of the story. Like we get this little like folks, this little cautionary folk story that is told to kids who are being brats. And it has some kind of connection to not only Icker Falls' like contaminated past, but also possibly setting Icker Falls in the Lovecraft mythos.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and the whole thing with Whippoorwill. As soon as I heard that, the only other time I've ever heard Whippoorwill is when the Game Grumps brought up a joke that a comedian brought up. I don't know the comedian, otherwise I would credit him. But basically, he brought up how there was a golf game going on, and it was kind of quiet. So on the show, they were piping in fake bird calls to make it seem more naturey and stuff. And some bird expert angrily called in, and he was basically saying, like, he called them out, saying that there's a bird there that shouldn't be there. And he was saying, like, are you telling me that the blue-crested whippoorwill decided to change its migratory path to enjoy a little bit of golf?
Oh my god, that is like that's a comment from our show.
Yeah,
like that's definitely like in line with one of our own comments
for sure.
Jesus
yeah,
Christ,
that's good that I've seen whippoorwill somewhere else now.
Yeah. And I've given you a little bit more like history into like the use of the name and in conjunction with like fiction and, you know, nature. But that's the end of my actual thoughts for this one. So Mikey, these stands for evil.
So my actual thought for this is actually my biggest problem with this story.
Okay.
And that's the ending. I feel that the brat should be eating fish.
Right?
Because at the end, it's just spinach, and we're just talking about fish, so why isn't the story about a spinach monster?
Or, like, maybe there could have been, like, some comments like, I don't care if it smells like fish, eat your damn spinach. I don't know. Like, yeah, like maybe like, again, because again, to try and give some kind of example is like why there's a like maybe give like a ref, like a connection between like the story being told and like the connection of like the chemical connection. It's making the
I think it's stuff. Basically like it's the same story, just with different food is what the person telling the kid is saying. It's like this kid didn't want to eat something. It doesn't matter that it's not greens. He didn't want to eat it. And because of that, it made him insane. So if you don't eat this, even though it's different, it will also make you insane.
Yeah. The damp lady will come for you and assume the form of the spinach.
Yeah.
Or also, like, it's like, now eat your greens. I don't care if there's spots of purple in it. But yeah.
Yeah. But like something simple as that would fix it. Like,
okay.
Purpley spinach or actually having a fish at the end, like something to sort of tie it other than saying greens and spinach. Like
I can kind of understand. Cause like the end of the story did kind of leave me a little bit like, okay, like, well, that was an interesting read.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I got more, literally, as a result of my notes, I had more to say about the reprint with permission from Ethelore Voices, thing at the bottom. Like, the
notation
credit.
At the end.
Exactly, yeah. The notation, yeah. The anecdote.
There you go.
I was also kind of left with a few questions, like, Ethelore Voices? I know about the Ethelore Summer, and it's like, the effects on phenolic toxicity on folkloric imagination in Nigger Falls. That is a hell of an essay title, or a book title, depending on what exactly this document is.
Mm-hmm.
But I think some kind of connection, because I think that would be cool actually if the damp lady isn't always just a fish. It's just she changes herself dependent on the food that Brad isn't eating.
Yeah, that could be one way that it's swapped at the end instead of the narrator. I'm going to say the parent, because I don't know the gender or nothing. The parent could change it saying, instead of saying the damp lady will come, say like the green lady will come and turn you too. Now eat your spinach.
It could still be damp because generally veggies are eaten steamed or boiled and stuff like that. Especially in like,
I guess, but I'm trying to make it more spinachy.
I understand. Or like,
Popeye
yeah, like,
will come and turn you mad.
Or what?
Popeye will come and turn you mad.
I
don't think that's a very good Popeye, but I can't.
I don't think it was.
It is like yuck 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 kind of thing, right?
Yeah, he's like,
I can't do the way barely, he does it.
Yeah. But yeah, also, or again, maybe have something like a quote afterward. It's like where this brat screamed into the night because he had a dream of a kelp looking lady. Or a figure in it that was just like his spinach made manifest over him. It's like, you'll have me one way or another. And then when he gets older, he becomes mayor of the town after and brings home his sweetheart, who's very her hair's very kelpy and flowing, but and weirdly flowing and green.
It's dyed green, quote unquote.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and her her skin complexion's very mottled, sort of like Brussels sprouts or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And then he screams in the night, and when they get to his room, and they find that he's gone insane or is just pissed because there's just a pile of spinach on his on the opposite pillow where his sweetheart was.
It's like, damn it, honey, I told you I didn't want to eat spinach. Now, where'd you go? She just snuck out in the night because you won't eat spinach.
Yeah. Turns out she's just a vegetarian.
Leave a calling card. Yeah. Leave a calling card. It's like, this is why I left. And that's why he's so mad.
Yeah, clearly. And he will remain mad for the rest of his days.
Yeah, very angry.
So goddamn angry! wow. So...
Did you have anything else to say, Mikey?
No, that was it.
Okay.
Okay.
That's the end of your actual thoughts?
Yep.
All right. So
I only have a couple myself.
Okay. Well, you have the floor, gamer.
I do. First one. Once upon a time, you brat. As soon as I read that, I'm like, whoa, easy now. I just started reading. Why are you targeting me here?
Hey now, you're a rock star. Game on. Yeah.
Yeah, I just felt that was kind of weird. It took me back for a second. Apparently, what the hell's going on here?
Apparently, there was a couple of commenters that were that commented about that too. They thought that the "you brat" part of this kind of pulled them out of it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I can see that.
And my next one. She was very beautiful, but her skin and hair were always damp and all that. And it's talking about all that. And she wore green and purple all the time, never blinked. So my response to that is like, how blind is this king?
He just bring home a fish.
I know it's a story meant to scare the kid, but how blind is he? She never blinks and she's always damp with huge eyes, and yet she's still beautiful.
Seems pretty sus. I mean, again, I'm not going to you know what? Beauty is in the eye of the beholder. So watch out for those eye stalks before they, zap you with some kind of ray attack. Sorry, that was a D&D joke.
Okay.
Because of the beholders.
Ah, nice. Yeah.
But, yeah, I digress. Again, I don't want to, like, king shame or, like, again, beauty is in the eye of the person. So it's like, yeah, different strokes for different folks, but it's still kind of sus.
Well, yeah, a little bit. Also, do beholders have eye socks? I thought they're like cacodemons.
No, so beholders traditionally have like one central eye, and then they have a bunch of other like eye stalks that generally have different types of eyes on them, and because they all shoot different like ray attacks. Like one of petrification, okay. One of like ice beam, one of incinerate, sort of thing like that.
Okay, I thought they were just tentacles that came off of them.
Nope.
Gotcha. I learned a thing.
You did.
Yeah, that's about all I got for notes on the matter.
Okay. So I guess we'll move on to final thoughts for the damp lady. It's damn short. And I might have liked it a little bit. I might have liked a little bit more to it. Like a bit more explanation regarding the Ethelor connection. Maybe even have an author's note about like the connection between this story and the Ethelor connection, rather than just like having that little quotation or like addendum at the bottom, like showing like where this was pulled from and such.
It's making you more interested in the book that it came from than the story itself.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I'd like to know a little bit more about the connection between like the Ethelor Summer and its relation to local folklore and the bedtime stories of Ichor Falls. It's not terrible. Like it's a quick and easy to kind of get down. So I'm going to partially recommend it. But yeah, I kind of wanted some more. I wanted to know more about the connection. So. That's my final thought, is I partially recommend. Mikey, These Tales for Evil.
All right. Well, I'm not going to recommend it due to the ending and there not being a spinach monster. So
fair. Valid point. All right.
So is it my turn?
I guess it's your turn. Because yeah. Mikey is being rude and not telling you to go.
He's not being rude. It's fine. Is that actually everything you have to say, though?
Yep.
Okay, fair enough. For me, I'm also not going to recommend it. I personally don't really like the dynamic of the story. It kind of feels like it's basically like a rushed, angry story being told to some kid who doesn't want to eat spinach. And that's exactly what it is, and that's how it comes off reading it. We only see words from the narrator's side, so it, in a way, it kind of makes me feel like that the narrator's saying all this while he's like locked in a padded cell, because there's no back and forth; it's just one way.
But that's also kind of like, because again, when you get to the end where there's like the quotation, it's basically this guy like listened to somebody like tell the story to him, and then he like put it down into his document about like the Ethelor. The Ethelor folklore.
Here's so how many times you've chimed in and said Ethelor every time.
It's a really fun word, all right?
It is. However, my point still stands, because could have gotten that story from listening to a guy in a padded cell.
Oh, okay, yeah, for sure, yeah.
Like, there's no real back and forth. He's just talking to someone who's not there.
Fair.
So I would have appreciated a little bit of back and forth on it. It is in character, I guess. Because it's just some parent making up a quick story on the spot to tell their picky child, but it comes off on the same level. It comes off on the same level of care as the story itself as a result of that. Mm-hmm. Like, if this was a 1-hour writing exercise, then okay. Because it just feels so rushed and it doesn't really go anywhere or take any risks or really do much, you know?
Yeah, I think it's too short to really kind of, and there's not enough here to really kind of, or there's definitely like threads that go elsewhere, but it's
not
too
really
short.
It's just the only threads that go elsewhere is the little printed thing at the end. But
that's what I mean. Like that's like I was more curious about that than the actual story.
That's what I'm saying. The meat and potatoes of the story, because you want to avoid your greens, of course. There's like nothing really there, and it doesn't really go anywhere. And there's no real tie. The tie to it is only in the notation at the end to Edgar Falls. Like, there's nothing in the story itself.
Yeah, it's a pretty generic... it's a pretty generic childhood story. Like cautionary story. There's nothing in it that really... it's somewhat creepy. Like, it's childhood creepy, but at the same time, it's like... I'm pretty sure I've heard this sort of childhood, like bedtime story, like cautionary tale story, like a couple of times in different iterations, but it's always the same sort of like thing. Like,
yeah, it's a very baseline boogeyman's going to get you if you don't do what I say situation.
Exactly. Yeah.
No, but because of that, it's not like the father is telling the son a cautionary tale of something that actually happened. That's not what it came across as. It came across as, I'm tired of you not eating your spinach. I'm making up a story on the spot to scare you so you'll eat your goddamn spinach.
Yeah.
And then, to me, that doesn't really add to the Edgar Falls lore and world very well.
Yeah, like, the only context we get for that Edgar Falls thing is that bottom thing where that professor apparently, like, transcribed this story that was told to him for his essay or document. Like...
Yes, and but like, without having that document to have more context, it's just out there, like, without any connecting ties to it, really.
Yeah, I think, 100%. Like, without that bottom bit, that the story would, like, I'd be 100% not recommend, actually, I think. Mm-hmm. Like, because that's the only thing that gives this entire story context, or, like, some semblance of context, not even full context, just, like, this is reprinted from permission of the Ethelor voices, blah, 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 and like documented. It's like, okay. So it gives you some kind of like context of like, okay, so this is a story that was derived around the time of the Ethelor summer in Edgar Falls. How? Like, why? Like, I want more. I want to know more about that. Mm-hmm. But it's too short for that. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. As I said up front, not recommending it.
Yeah.
It just doesn't really go anywhere or do anything.
Yeah. And I think, honestly, just to clarify my stance, I think my partial recommendation, is only because of that last bit. Like, if that last bit wasn't there, I probably wouldn't recommend this either, because I'd be like, how does this connect to Edgar Falls? It's like, you can't just say it's like, oh, this is like, I wrote this thing. Oh, this is from Edgar Falls, because it was pulled from the time of the Ethelor chemical thing. There, I did it. It's connected.
Yeah, like, it could have been made up which for I feel any like other we, reason.
Yeah, which I feel like we complained about, like, or we used like remember last session or last recording about the blue man, and like we were commenting, it's like, oh, all that story needed was like a little nod to Edgar Falls.
Yeah,
which this story did, and like, I guess for this story it wasn't enough.
Well, no, because the blue man story
was interesting.
Yeah, I mean, man, it makes us sound like assholes.
I know.
But it's just like, it doesn't go anywhere. There's nothing really to draw you in or think about. It's just, it's a spooky story to tell a kid, and everything's there. There's nothing to really ask. It seems like it's just a. It's not a real event that's happening. It's just something that the parent made up on the spot to scare their kids. Okay.
Yeah.
But it doesn't add to the lore because of that.
Yeah, it's just...
At least in my view, in my opinion.
It does kind of come across this is going to sound really bad. A little lazy. Because it's just like, they did this really... They made up this generic bedtime story, cautionary tale thing, and then just slapped on a single... maybe one or two sentence connection at the very end as a quote, as like in brackets to kind of try and make it seem a little bit smarter. But it's, at the end of the day, it's just a generic cautionary tale that has a single connection to the fact that it was from Edgar Falls.
You know what it needs? It needs probably the same amount of words in front of this story and behind it. Like, it needs some sort of a setup. This dude is compiling information on this sort of phenomena that's going on. There's been a couple of cases. Here's a case. Okay. like honestly, oh, okay. Almost like an SCP where there's the setup and then there's the incident reports. This would be an incident report, someone telling this story, and then something after that saying that it's this phenomenon is on the loose and whatever, you know.
So I think honestly what we need here is so the end bracket bit, like the reprinted with permission, should be at the front, should be at the top. And then the story we get, like in quotes, maybe, or like kind of like, again, because it's a transcript of something that from that book. And then an addendum piece by the author of the book, like, or like by the person, like, it's like, this story came out in this year, or like this story started getting circulated around town in this year, around, and oddly enough, and like give a little bit more backstory behind the story.
Yeah. For sure.
At the end, like, yeah. So I think that might be like maybe not just like a SCP style document, but like have give us that, cause like I did in the rundown. Like I straight up just told everybody like this is a reprint from this document.
Yes, I'll say this. The way you ran that down, the story came across way better than me reading it, because me reading it going in with nothing, it just sounded like a fairy tale is being told because it's once upon a time. That's how it starts. You brat. Okay, so it's a parent telling a child a bedtime story, and he's not happy with the child.
Yeah.
So he's making it up on the spot. But you leading yours with the reprint stuff made it your rundown come across a lot better.
Cool.
So that alone would fix it, just that little flip.
Yeah. So, yeah. So either have the reprint part at the top and maybe add an addendum at the end to give us a little bit more about... Give us a reason why this is connected to Icker Falls, not just like it was from Icker Falls.
Yeah, it's in a book.
Yeah, it's in a book. Maybe you should read a book. Go to your local library in West Virginia. See if you can find this. But all right. So I think ultimately, it's like barely a recommendation out of the three of us. Like barely one recommendation. Or not even a recommendation, like half a recommendation, like partial recommendation.
You gave it a partial, and Mike and I did not recommend it.
So 0.5 out of 3.
There you go.
Yeah. And with that, we will move on to Wolves of the Stillwood. So this one is by Andrew Van Orden, according to its posting on creepos.wiki, which I actually found out. Because again, on the Icker Falls site, it's just posted by the admin and they don't actually credit the author. Okay. let's go down to the rundown here. So there are no wolves in the Stillwood. This verse is repeated several times between paragraphs by a local from Lower Aletheia in Icker Falls as they recount the strange disappearances in the Stillwood that occasionally happen and absolutely do not relate to any sightings of a large predatory creature lurking in the woods. Scout's honor, wink. usually in these duplications, or no, in the course of these duplications of that verse between the paragraphs, a single word is italicized for a specific emphasis and meaning. By the end, we can conclude, according to Nair, there are no wolves in the Stillwood that are taking and killing those people.
And I hate italics.
Did you not get that?
Hell no. And that's hell, italicized hell.
Yeah. And the problem, the thing is, that's what saves this. Like, that's honestly what, like, makes this story for me. It, when I realize that there's an emphasis on a single word in every version of that sentence.
Damn it!
Because we're just like, why the fuck does it keep repeating this? This is stupid.
No, it's okay. Not that at all. But I'm just sad I missed the italics because goddamn italics suck.
They're not italic enough.
Yeah. Shit needs to be at a 45 degree angle. That's the only way you can see it.
Or bolded.
Bold is the easy way.
Yeah. I was even like, I think even in one of my comments or something, I just capitalize the word.
Or underline.
Yeah. I just italics, like formatting in italics, like the computer format of italics is the worst when it comes to trying to like emphasize, because some of us are blind, are internet blind or computer blind, so it's hard to see it sometimes.
Yeah, like if you go back and look at the previous one, then yeah, the in that one looks different than the in in the second one.
Yeah, there are.
But that's only if you compare them. If you just read them and you're reading it normally, it's obviously easy to miss if you're an idiot, because I did.
Yeah. We still love you. It's fine.
I'm sure.
Anyways, but yeah. So we'll move on to everyone tolerates the grammar inquisitions again.
Everyone still tolerates the grammar inquisitions.
Yes. I was about to do it again, but no, I'm done. So I'm going to start with this one here. And should you see what cannot be polychrome eyes shining through the mists from the underbrush or somehow in the branches above or even through your gauze of your windows, should you be blessed enough to make it safely home, take what comfort you can in this thought. Okay, so I got a little bit of a bone to pick with this sentence.
Okay.
Aside from the front end, which Mikey, of course, will cover in his conjunction. Or even through your gauze of your windows. What the fuck does that mean? I think, yeah, curtains. It'd be, like probably those, like, the gauze probably means those semi-transparent fabric curtains. But it's just such a weird way of saying it. That it really bugged me. Also, the run-on nature of this sentence, because those were mostly commas in the story, and there's some commas missing, actually. It bugged me, so I rewrote the story. I rewrote this paragraph. So, and you'll note to exclude the "and" at the front. should you see what can't possibly be polychromed eyes? Semicolon. Semicolon is the one with the period and the little comma at the bottom, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. Semicolon. Shining through the mist, comma, from the underbrush, comma, or even, comma, somehow, comma, in the branches above, period. Should you even see them through the curtains of your windows, comma, as you've made it safely home, comma, take what comfort you can in this thought, period. I don't know if that's better, but that made more sense than what I read.
You're going to need to read that semicolon section again.
Okay. So, shining through the mists from the underbrush or even somehow in the branches above.
Where's the semicolon?
Sorry, the semicolon's after polychrome. Okay. Should you see what can't possibly be polychrome eyes, semicolon, shining through the mists, comma, from the underbrush, comma, or even, comma, somehow, comma, in the branches above. I know that's a lot of commas, but
I'm going to disagree with your use of the semicolon, partially because I don't like semicolons, and the shining is referring to the polychrome eyes. So why are you breaking them up, saying that they're separate thoughts that are sort of connected with the semicolon?
Okay. Maybe a colon would be better, because it's like giving an example, because it's what can't possibly
be only listing two things.
Polychrome eyes shining through the mist, because it's like we get that at the end, like it's connecting to it, like shining through the mist or from the underbrush or from the trees above or from the branches above.
Oh, so you're trying to make it into a list.
Yeah.
I don't know if there's enough to really warrant a list.
There's three locations from the mist, the underbrush, or even the branches above.
And a list, you would want a colon, not a semicolon.
Okay, so it should be a colon then. I always kind of get tripped up by semicolons and colons. So
I just don't think that's list worthy. The way I do it is: should you see what cannot be polychrome eyes shining through the mists from the underbrush, comma, or somehow in the branches above, comma, or even through the gauze.
Through the mist and from the underbrush bugs me that there's not a comma between them, because it doesn't make any sense. Like I through the mist from the underbrush. It's like I guess
the
maybe there's
coming
mist
from the underbrush.
I hate it. I absolutely fucking hate it. Like, yeah. It bugs
we might
me.
Have to just agree to disagree on this one.
Yeah, like I just
at
just
least
hate
in some
like,
aspects.
Yeah, I just hate how that's described. It's really irking me for some reason.
Yeah, he just keeps listing all the locations that you might see the polychrome eyes.
Yeah.
And it's like, well,
because of how wordy each one is, though, like earlier on, it says the blame falls on the usual suspects, colon, foxes, wild dogs, or teenagers with too much time. Like that, I'm fine with, because they're very short things that are being listed after that. But because these are like the description, they're all described. It's not just a
ABC.
Where I would just put it into a normal sentence without trying to make it a list. Just break it up as you need, but.
I would probably go with a list that's like the mist, the underbrush, or the branches above.
Yeah, if they were simplified down to that, then yes.
Okay.
We came to a compromise.
Yay! Mikey's just like, and I helped. And that window thing, just like, I really hated that window verse, so I had to change it. It's like, because it's like
the way
it
reads.
Where is it in the story? Or even through your gauze of your windows, should you be blessed enough? And there's no commas, like, should you be blessed enough to make it home or to make it safely home, comma, take what comfort you can in this thought. It's like, your gauze of your windows bugs me so much.
Easier way is just go, or even through the gauze of your windows.
Yeah, that, you know, honestly, that would probably make it better. And then maybe,
I'm assuming they're using gauze as like an old timey word for curtains.
Yeah.
Like that kind of dates when this was said.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, this was my major grammar inquisition, because it just like, it irked me so much.
I'm surprised I didn't have a note on that, honestly.
Weird.
Because I agree that something has to be done, and we figured it out, but still.
Yeah. But, that's my grammar inquisition, so, Mikey, D stands for evil.
Alright. So, before the conjunction junction, I have a couple of run-on sentences.
Yeah.
Because this story has run-on sentences. The occasional reports of large predators just after dusk or late at night, usually by the occasional hiker or party of campers in the Stillwood, residents of Lower Althea, nearest the woods like myself, now know better than to try, receive the same tired reply from animal control. Period.
A section of that was bracketed out. But yes,
yeah, but
because I have the same thing.
Yeah. Well, how do you fix it since you have it?
It's you're in the spotlight, right? Keep the spotlight on him right now, not me.
Very accurate. Like, well, how would you fix it then?
Yeah, exactly. Did you write down a way to fix it, Mikey?
No.
Okay, then I'll do it. I actually move the structure around a lot. So the way I rewrote this whole thing is residents of, and I actually took out the brackets entirely. Residents of Lower Althea, nearest the woods like myself, know not to bother reporting wolves to animal control. However, the occasional hiker or party of campers in the Stillwood give them occasional reports of large predators just after dusk or late at night, and they receive the same tired reply from animal control. So that's two sentenced out. Sorry, there was a period after animal control. I forgot to mention that. So halfway through.
Okay.
Also, did you seriously like pronounce that Althea? Like Althea?
Althea. Like
it's
Al Bundy.
Althea. It's Althea.
Dude, how would I know? There's no accent aigu on it like in French.
It's
I don't know how it's supposed to be.
Okay.
I don't know these places. Where is it?
It's a neighborhood in Nicker Falls.
I don't live in Nicker Falls. How would I know?
A lot of the Nicker Falls.
You had
like,
to Google it.
No, I didn't have to Google it.
Okay.
A lot of the Nicker Falls like You know, I could be having it wrong, but the way, like, a lot of the Icker Falls, like, neighborhoods and wards and stuff that are based off of Greek names. So, like, Elysium okay. And what have you. So.
Okay.
But yeah, I just, yeah, again, I could be saying it wrong, but, like, that's how I've always said Aletheia. So.
It's literally the first, when I read it, I just read it as a word. Me saying the word was the first time me trying to actually put together how to say the word.
Gotcha. I'll just shut up now.
Excellent.
So, onwards to the next run-on. A few years back, when the Bradleys, a little family brand new to the Falls, had their boy David go missing from their own backyard, never finding more than scraps of his jacket and a little blood at the edge of the forest, the official response was adamant. This was a kidnapping, not an animal attack. Period.
Damn.
That was commented out with a colon in there. I also have that one.
It's all comma. Jesus Christ.
Yes. So, how do you fix it, Cameron Yellow?
Do you not fix anything?
No.
I just put them in my notes to make sure that they were brought up, and then if you fair didn't enough. Have it, then I wouldn't have missed my opportunity to bring them up.
Okay, gotcha. But yeah, there are five commas in there and a colon.
Mm-hmm.
So, I believe this one I moved the words around a little bit, but not as much as the previous one. Mine is, a few years back, a little family brand new to the Falls, comma, the Bradleys, comma, had their boy David go missing from their own backyard, period. They never found more than scraps of his jacket and a little blood at the edge of the forest, period. The official response was adamant, colon, this was a kidnapping, not an animal attack, period. Realistically, that should be commaed out with quotations around that response, now that I think about it.
Mm-hmm. Because it's a statement by the authorities.
Yeah, that's how I would do it.
Okay, I like that.
Yeah.
All right, so I guess onwards to my conjunction junction.
And next stop, conjunction junction.
So, if you want to sleep at night this close to the forest, keep your doors locked tight and your shutters closed fast. If just to buy some peace of mind, to stop you from catching a glimpse of the Stillwood late at night. And should you somehow find yourself walking near, or God forbid, through the wood some evening, head home as quick as you can. And should you see what cannot be polychrome eyes, shining through the mist from the underbrush, or somehow in the branches above, or even through your gauze of your windows, should you be blessed enough to make it safely home, take what comfort you can in this thought. Finn.
All of that was three sentences.
Yeah.
It's also funny because the start of your conjunction junction what is the start of my next grammar thing as well.
Yeah.
That's why I giggled a bit as soon as you started.
I also I got a giggle at the end there. It's like, and take what comfort you can from this thought. Finn.
Yeah, I get no thought.
But yeah. So,
and for those of us that are joining late in the episode and missed the first one, Mikey does conjunction junctions.
Hang on a second. Okay. Sorry, that killed me.
Some people might skip through.
That's true.
Mikey does conjunction junctions to highlight the sentences in the story that starts with words that they shouldn't, like front butts, so's, and such. There's always better words to begin sentences with, and he tries to highlight the ones.
That killed me so bad.
I don't know.
Oh,
out of left field, I guess.
Yeah. Oh, all right. All right, gamer, you're up.
Okay. My first one's pretty simple. According to the regular surveys by the National Forestry Service, a service should be capitalized because it's a name. National and forestry are, but service is not. My next one is the start of Mikey's stuff there. And basically, I just took that sentence and put a period in the middle of it. Because right now it is, so if you want to sleep at night this close to the forest, comma, keep your doors locked and your shutters closed fast, comma. But right there, I swapped from a comma to a period. So it'd be keep your doors locked tight and your shutters closed fast, period. If nothing else, just to buy some peace of mind. Because I had to change the start of that sentence a little bit.
Yes.
My next one is really simple fix too, but for my weird brain, it changes it a lot. This has come up a few times before. I don't know if you guys agree with me. Try to ignore the sounds of the night wind, comma, howling as it does, ellipses. It will only make your imagination run wild, comma, after all. So I removed the comma between run wild and after all, because this is how it sounds to me. It will only make your imagination run wild, after all. That's how it sounds to me. It sounds like it's beginning more. Like it's about to say more. Like, after all, so blah, 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 blah. You know? But okay, it just goes period.
Give me a second here. So, it will only make your imagination run wild, after all. Yeah, it's weird that it has that comma.
You don't need to break that out.
Yeah,
it doesn't even really need the after all.
Yeah.
True. That's also true.
Yeah, that's really... Yeah, I thought you were going to talk about, like, getting rid of the comma between night wind and howling. Because you don't technically need that either. That comma either. Like, try to ignore the sounds of the night wind howling as it does.
Well, we're talking about the night wind. It's making the night wind the...
A presence.
Yeah. It's making it the subject of the sentence.
Yeah.
So I'm fine with that one. But yeah. The easiest way to fix it is just chop off after all and turn that comma into a period, for sure.
It's a gangrenous extension of the sentence. Remove it.
Or just actually write more words. Like, after all, it's just your imagination. It's totally not real or whatever, you know.
Sure.
It has to say something else after all. Because after all, something else has to go after all, right?
Because we're only human, after all.
Yeah.
Don't put the blame on me. And is that it?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Then moving on to actual thoughts. So going back to that emphasis, the italics that emphasizes the words in there are no wolves in the Stillwood verse. I really liked it. And honestly, I didn't quite catch it until I looked down the comment. Before I read the story, I have to give the commenter due where it's due. On the site, Tom notes the emphasis, and that's before I even read the story. I was like, oh, cool. And then I read it. Oh, that's interesting. And he even comments like, emphasis can make a story, and I have to agree with that. Like
you
reading
know what's
through this,
funny?
Yeah.
In my final recommendations, I have the same thing quoted, but for a different reason.
Okay.
Because the way I read that, him saying that this is proof that emphasis can make a story, the emphasis is the repetition of the sentence.
Aw, gamer.
What? It is.
I know, you're not wrong. No. Like, because, like, okay, yeah, like, the repetition, like,
it's emphasizing that line, like, you...
It's emphasizing that line, and so you didn't need the emphasis because of the certain words because you were getting that from the context of the story.
Yeah.
Whereas in the story, like, because in the story, like, just for people listening, it's the first one is there are no wolves in the Stillwood.
It's
then
the
there.
Second one,
technically. Oh yeah, yeah. Sorry, because there are no wolves. The first one is completely like normal. Like there are no wolves in the Stillwood. Just a blank statement. And then the next one is there are no wolves in the Stillwood. Then the next one is there are no wolves in the Stillwood. And then the last one is there are no wolves in the Stillwood.
Mm-hmm.
And I love that, like, sort of like subtle emphasis in each line, because it adds on like an extra little bit of dread or like emphasis that to the story. And it popped up again, maybe because I read the comment before, so I was aware of it. But like,
did you catch the italics when you were reading through it before you cheated?
No, unfortunately, I didn't. I saw the comment first.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so you read it the same way I did. You read them as just straight sentences.
Yeah, but okay. I then saw the italic, and I was like, oh, that's really clever. Like, I like how that is, like, it pops up in each one to emphasize a certain part of that story. It's like we complain about the English language on the show a lot. But this is a really cool way of a cool example of using language, or like using literary language for this. I felt anyway. But
it's just funny that we read that guy's comment very differently.
Yeah.
But kind of the same.
Yeah. Yeah. So like, again, I really liked the, there are no wolves in the Stillwood. There are no wolves in the Stillwood. There are no wolves in the Stillwood. It's not wolves that are killing people.
No.
Necessarily.
There's a king in the Stillwood though.
There is actually, I think that might be my next thing here.
Here's a segue. Careful, the battery's low.
What?
I said, here's a segue then. Careful, the battery's low.
Okay.
Segues are the things that you stand on, you lean forward, and they move.
I was like... Okay, sorry. I don't know. Anyway, moving on. So, the occasional report of large predators just after dusk or late at night, usually by the occasional hiker or party of campers in the Stillwood. Oh God, those fools. Why doesn't anyone try to dissuade these people from camping in the woods, in those woods? like my first, like, as soon as I got to that part, I was like, wait, there are campers going into the Stillwood? No. And then we get to the next bit here. Residents of Lower Aletheia, nearest the woods, like myself, know better than to try. But you'll let out-of-towners go traipsing in and spending the night in the woods, aware of the dangers they'll be in.
That's fine. Nice. The king's gotta eat.
Okay. Honestly, like, this felt like almost like a horror movie. It's like
you know what it is? What? It's, what's that Nick Cage movie we saw recently?
Oh, it's Willy's Wonderland, or yeah. Willy's Wonderland.
Yeah, he's there, but they gotta feed him.
Yeah, the town is, so they're doing it on purpose. And again, man, it's Icker Falls, so we've already, like, read in other stories in Icker Falls that there's cults and groups within the town that, like, harbor the weirdness. So, honestly, as soon as I got to this part in the story about, like, hikers and campers going into the Stillwood, I sort of gave me this idea for, like, another story of being a park ranger that has to deal with the strange disappearances in the Stillwood, sort of like the missing 411 cases, which are strange and real cases of people going missing and sometimes being found under very strange and peculiar circumstances, if they're found at all, in national parks across America, like Yellowstone and such.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it's that's a whole... It's a whole document, like, about it, like, of, like, people who were, like, the parents turned away for 2 seconds, looked over, and their child was gone. And then when they do find the child, they're found, like, 4 miles later up on a mountainside, missing their shoes, and apparently some mystery figure took them up there. Yeah, that's kind of like, it was giving me some weird, like, some, just given the weird shit that is in the Stillwood, like the king or even these wolves, if they are not the same creature entirely, could be a cool story of, like, a search and rescue, search and rescue story turned into a search and retreat with Extreme Prejudice story.
Yeah.
like, all right, we gotta do a search through the Stillwood. Everyone, keep your walkies on. Let's go. And then, like, five paragraphs later, let's get the fuck out of here. Jesus Christ. We're becoming part of the, because they'll become the next victims.
Mm-hmm.
And regarding the wolves themselves, so aside from the simple like this simply being a cover up for the Stillwood King, I propose a new theory. What if they are werewolves or even loup-garous, like French Canadian werewolves who can change as they please? Like they're not entirely bound to like the, to other like werewolf folklore, like the moon and stuff.
Wait, hang on. You're assuming that this is a cover up for the Stillwood King?
That was honestly like one of my ideas. I was like, no, I want to do something different than just like, I don't want to just include the Stillwood King. So
the way that I thought of it, I didn't have a note of this, so I'll chime in now.
Sure.
Is basically, so the Stillwood is a time locked area, right?
Yeah, it's like a weird like time anomaly.
Yeah, and the Great Wolves of Virginia were made extinct over 100 years ago, right?
Oh shit. Bro!
The king has some hunting dogs, that's all I'm saying.
Oh my god, it's the Stillwood King has hunting hounds that are just gray wolves from like 100. Oh my god, that's so fucking good. Damn it. That's a cool one. Okay, well again, ignoring like again the connection with the Stillwood King.
Yeah.
What if like as the story goes, like there's no like the way it's described, so yeah, going back to my loup-garou idea. So yeah, loup-garous, yes, are French Canadian werewolves, like in folklore and stuff like that. They can change change their form as they please, sometimes not even as wolves, but like as other beasts. And I mean, a bunch of French settlers moved out of Canada, like off the Canadian coastline, to what is now Louisiana after the British pushed them out. after the British showed up and just pushed them out of their settlements. So why not say a few decided to plop down in a certain spooky location in West Virginia on their way south?
Yep.
Like, what if it's a group of old Falls folk who have been cursed by the power of the Shining One, perhaps, or even mutated by the old chemical disaster? Like maybe it's old folk magic, or maybe it's some kind of like scientific mutation. Like they become werewolves as a result of mutation. What if the narrator telling this story right now is one of them? Because it does kind of leave off. It's like he's there the whole time. It's like as a local of Lola Alethea, and like they know that they know it's not, there's no wolves in there that's causing these disasters and stuff. And then at the very end, it's like there are no wolves in Stillwood.
But they know that there's something in there.
Mm-hmm. Like they know the locals definitely know that something's up. So my proposal is that the locals are in on it.
Mm-hmm.
So
that's cool to see it too.
Yeah, I do like your idea of like, because it does mention at the end, like, or at the beginning, like the gray wolves of West Virginia have been extinct for over 100 years. But since the Stillwood is sort of time displaced, what if there's just a pack of them still roaming around as if it's 100 years ago?
Yeah,
sort of like a primeval sort of like situation where like there's a weird time anomalies that pull creatures from a distant time period in,
which kind of makes the there are no wolves in the Stillwood kind of false. Wrong though. Yeah, unless it's talking about in this time, like in
there are no Stillwolves now.
Yeah, but technically in the Stillwood you're not there now.
Yeah,
because you're elsewhere. It's a technicality.
Yeah, exactly. No, that's an interesting take as well.
There's only one issue though that I have.
Mm-hmm.
How are the eyes in the branches above?
That's kind of where I went with like loup-garou, is like they're like popping up from the thing. Although, yeah, it's sort of like supposed to insinuate like, it's people are chalking up to wolves, like attacking these people. But it's like, come on, guys, we all know, like all us local folk, it's not wolves in there. There's something worse in there.
Mm.
So it still could be the Stillwood King, or it could be, yeah. So we have a couple of theories. So either it's a cover up from the locals, that's the Stillwood King himself actually just doing all this. Potentially, the Stillwood King has a pack of hunting hounds, i.e., old gray wolves, like large gray wolves from a century ago.
Mm-hmm.
It's a couple of the townsfolk are loup-garous and can shapeshift and grab people and run around and whatnot, and they're covering up that way. Was there another one? Or it's something else, I guess, is the final theory. Yeah. It's anomalous. It's like it's not wolves. It's something.
Did Icar Falls have the Thunderbird?
No, yeah. It didn't.
Oh. Okay.
Well, in regards to the eyes in the trees, and also in regards to it saying there's no wolves in the Stillwood is this weird place of God knows what kind of magic. I don't know why I said magic again. I gotta stop doing that.
It's all your A's.
Yeah, really. Either way, there is magic in there. And who knows what magic can do over an extended period of time in this time-locked area. For all you know, these wolves aren't exactly mundane wolves anymore. And
yeah.
They're able to jump up in a tree, you know?
Yeah, perhaps they have become more than wolves. Maybe they've got, like, squid wolves. They're just, like, giant, like, tentacled wolves that just, like, latch onto the tops of trees and stuff.
Could be anything.
Mm-hmm. Or it is the Stillwood King. And considering he's mostly fungus, it's like the Super Mario Bros., where there's fungus everywhere.
But he can, like, see through the fungus?
Yeah.
So
exactly like the king from...
It's a fleshscape situation, but with fungi.
Or dogscape. Wolfscape.
That is the best option.
The wolfscape. It's wolves all the way down.
Yes. God, freaking dogscape.
Can't escape it.
No, you can't escape it.
Nah. I like how we don't actually get there's a lot of insinuation about it, like through that emphasis in the story, but we don't, it lends to a lot of theory crafting as to like what exactly are these wolves. So that's my actual thoughts. So Mikey, these stands for evil.
All right. So my first actual thought is where I looked up something because I wanted to see if I could find an image. And that is for polychrome eyes. Okay. And I couldn't find anything that, like any symbol image with a Google search. But polychrome essentially just means varied coloring.
So, yeah, that's like fluorescent.
So, basically, hazel eyes would probably fit the bill.
Yeah. I think what they're going for is, like, the eyes that, like, if when you shine a light, like, how animals, like, their eyes shine in the darkness.
That's what I assumed. I didn't know what that word was, but that's what first came to mind.
Yeah.
So maybe that's a grammar thing. That's called something else.
I'm looking up polychrome eyes now. Like on image Google, yeah, it's not exactly accurate. Again, it's sort of a, you could use it, but I guess it's not exactly the best descriptor for it.
Mm-hmm.
The tapetum lucidum is a reflective surface that causes the eyes of animals to look like they're glowing in the dark.
Okay, so it's where is that? Should you see what cannot be? Whatever you said for what
that word, that's way worse than polychrome eyes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Tapetum lucidium.
Tatum lucidium eyes. Yeah, maybe not. Maybe don't use that one. It's a little too complicated.
Yeah, so just something interesting there. My next actual thought is that this story actually reminded me of a joke that I memorized about 15 years ago.
Okay.
It's an ice fishing joke. So, a man goes out onto the ice, and he starts drilling a hole. And he hears this big, booming voice that says, "There are no fish under that ice." He looks around and shrugs it off and starts drilling again. And he hears again the voice booming, saying, "There are no fish under that ice." So this time he says to himself, "God, is that you?" And then silence. So he continues digging his hole. And then the third time, he hears the voice, "There are no fish under that ice." So this time the guy yells at the top of his lungs, "God, is that you?" And to which he gets a reply, "No, it's the arena manager."
Wow. Nice. I wonder where you're going with it.
I thought this was going to be creepy. It's like, "There are no fish under the ice. There are no fish under that ice." And then like the final one, when he breaks through, it's like, "There are no fish under the ice." And it's like, I thought,
yeah,
it was like going to be like
a thing.
Yeah, I thought it was going to be like a creepy, like foreboding thing. It's like, no, it's just he's on a fucking, in a freaking arena. That's,
I thought it was going to be like there's a guy under the ice trying to tell him to get like to not hit him with the drill. Like, "There's no fish under here, but get me out of here." I don't know.
Yeah, no, I like that. That was a lot of fun. For some reason, I was not expecting that outcome.
Yeah, that was good.
Yeah.
He didn't specifically say he was out on a lake or nothing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He just went out on the ice.
Yeah.
That's good. That's good. And is that all your actual thoughts?
Yes.
Okay. So, Gamer, you're up for the second time.
Okay. So, I kind of chimed in. Well, I did chime in with this. I don't normally read the comments. The first one caught my eye as I was finishing the story because it was very short and I couldn't help but read it. And it summarized my thoughts quite well because Tom said this is proof that emphasis can make a story. And I agree, because each time it says it, it's showing how the residents are themselves believe the lies that they're told by the authorities on all this, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And I do think the story would hold up even without the repeating quotes, but it was a nice flavor to put on top of it, basically.
Yeah.
That's honestly all I have for notes until final thoughts.
Okay. Yeah, the reason why we did a two-part here, or like a two-story thing here, because these ones are both really short.
Mm-hmm.
So, on to final thoughts. I liked this little yarn. It's foreboding, sinister, and mysterious. I recommend it. And as always, there are no wolves in the Stillwood. Mikey, these stands for evil.
I'm going to give this a partial recommendation.
You best. No, okay.
just because, like, it does make you ask the question of what is it then if it's not wolves? But then...
That's a bad thing?
Well, it that's where it gets points.
Okay.
And you have to read more to find out about the Stillwood King and all that, but there's no direct line to the Stillwood King.
You do and you don't. Like, I think you could read this without reading any other Icar Falls stories, and it would be an interesting little like creepy. I think this captures some of the creepy mystery of Icar Falls in its mood. Like,
but it could also be used as a primer to the Stillwood King.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and it's sort of dependent on you seeing the italicized words.
I disagree. Because I didn't see those damn things at all, and I still got the emphasis in a very different way.
But a way that worked for the story.
Yeah.
Like, you inserted the emphasis by yourself by reading those.
No, the story has its own emphasis. It's just, the way it's supposed to be read by catching the italics is the specific italicized words are the emphasis. For me, reading it, the repetitiveness of the same statement is the emphasis. It's the emphasis that the people of this area are saying, no, there's no wolves here. Like, this shit's going on, but nope, there's no wolves here. Like, it doesn't matter where the emphasis is. The emphasis is the sentence itself. That's the way I saw it.
Okay.
Actually, we didn't get your thoughts on that. Mikey, did you read it and notice the italics or no?
I did notice the italics.
You did or did not?
Did.
Oh, okay. So you're the first one who did. Congratulations.
I was going to say, it's like, I was actually half expecting, like, I didn't even read the, there are no wolves in Stone, based on what happened with the blue man.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
He's just like, I didn't read those.
Just ignored the poem.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, this, you can easily glance at it and see, yeah, it's the same sentence.
Or
but,
is it?
It's the same sentence. It's the same sentence. It's the same sentence. Sorry.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I figured there was some weird trick to it, so I paid a bit of attention.
Nice.
That's very smart of you.
So...
So I think I'm done.
Okay. And then we have a game.
Well, I think I like unintentionally cut you off because you were saying that you feel it needs... You need to be able to catch the emphasis. Otherwise... You don't get the story? Is that basically what you were going to say?
Well, it's the wolves at the end seems to have a more of an impact, at least from what I read it. Because the no and then the in being emphasized was like, okay, that, but it's when it actually got to the wolves, there are no wolves specifically because of the emphasis.
It's like, yeah, so it's saying there's something in there.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. For sure. And that does give it a different context, like reading all that, for sure. That's why I was angry that I missed all that.
Fair.
I did run the gambit on this because I completely missed it entirely. Cultist, you missed it on your first read, but noticed it via...
No, okay, I want to point out, I did not actually read the story before I saw that comment. I saw the comment first. Like, I skimmed, like, there are no wolves in... Like, that's all I saw was there are no wolves in Stillwood. And then I just happened to look down the comments because this isn't very long. This isn't very... It basically did not take up the entire page. So I just happened upon the first couple of comments. And somebody said, emphasis is everything, or emphasis can make a story. I was like, oh, okay.
So you were looking for emphasis on your first read. Okay, never mind.
Yeah, sorry.
It's fine.
I mean, yes, exactly. Yeah.
Fine.
So partial recommendation then, was that, Mikey?
Yep.
Okay. And I can also understand because we did comment a lot on the run-on sentences and stuff as well. So Gamer, your recommendation.
I'm gonna recommend it. Yes, there was run-ons and I had to like completely rewrite and move sections of a sentence on opposite sides of the sentence and then break it apart and do all kind of grammar kung fu with that. But it didn't really take away from the enjoyment of the story. Maybe it's because it's connected to the Stillwood King, and I'm pretty sure the Stillwood King was my favorite story.
I think it was. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, going into this, I read the title, and I'm like, heck yeah, now don't fuck up the Stillwood King here.
And it didn't fuck up the Stillwood King?
It didn't, no. I enjoyed the story. I feel like the story says a lot without needing to say a lot, if you know what I mean? Like, it's short, but in that short time, it very clearly gets its point across and even explains the headpiece of the people in the area. The head place, rather.
Headspace.
Headspace, yeah, there you go. Comparatively, this story has 500 more characters than The Damp Lady, but it has so much more content than you can type in 500 characters.
I was literally like, after we were done like recommending, I was like, we actually got hit like a really decent like kind of like dichotomy here between the two short stories that were submitted for the Icker Falls stuff, because Damp, like, they're both pretty short. Like, I mean, yeah, like you said, like 500 words more for the Wolves of the Stillwood, but this one does so much more with what it has than than the Damp Lady. It's an interesting dichotomy. Like, you can do a short story do a compelling short horror story, and this is an example of that.
For sure. Like, every sentence just, like, drips with content, where in the Damp Lady, ironically enough, each sentence does not drip.
It's pretty dry.
Yeah, it's really dry.
I feel like a dick about to say this, but it's like, it's like the Goofus and Gallant of short horror stories. Like, don't do what Goofus does, like what the Damp Lady does, but do what Gallant does, like the Stillwood King, like the Stillwood Wolves. Like, because Goofus and Gallant is like a sort of like an old cautionary, like 50s or 70s, like video, like thing that they put on TV for like kids and stuff.
Yeah.
Like, don't cross the street without looking both ways. Don't be like Goofus and do that. He'll get hit by a car.
He will be murdered.
Yeah, exactly. Or don't do like Goofus does and use gasoline to dry your clothes.
Oh my God.
Yeah. No, legitimately in the 50s, they used gasoline to clean their clothes because it would dry faster.
Oh, okay. That's smart.
The problem is it would light on fire when in contact with a spark.
Oh yeah, that's not as smart.
Oh God. Or no, like, here's the worst part about it. They'd clean their, this is completely off topic, but they clean their they clean their clothes in gasoline and then dry them with an iron. A heated element.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then we're shocked when they were suddenly on fire.
And that iron's really hot. Weird.
Wow. Yeah. No. So, sorry. Going back to like, it's sort of that kind of dichotomy. And I don't mean to be mean to,
of course not,
the person who's the Damp Lady, but it's just like, yeah, the Wolves of Stillwood was a much better like take on like a short horror story.
There's just a lot more content in the small amount of words we're given.
Yes. Yeah.
Most, I kind of wish I did do this with, pick out each sentence and see what each sentence gives, but it feels like every sentence that's said is said for a reason and it goes somewhere.
Yeah.
Where the first one, it was just, it felt like it was an improvised story just to get the kid to eat his greens. So there was no real connection aside from the end that you kept talking about. There's no, like, real reason for things, you know?
Yeah. Like, I think what it is like, this story feels like well connected, like it feels purposefully connected to the Icker Falls lore.
Yeah, where, this one's hardwired
to
the Icker Falls lore, while the other one has like one bar.
It felt like an afterthought. Wi-Fi, it's like, connection. Oh yeah, I need to connect this to Icker Falls.
Yeah, kind of.
I'll leave this little bit at the end. Like, again, that sounds really mean, but like, that's just our opinion on it. It's just it. Like, especially when we have them side by side, it makes it even worse. So,
I'll say this: it was no Spyro.exe, at least.
Oh yeah, that's true.
What would you say is like most painful one we've read? Probably that one.
I mean,
I know I got really angry at it. I don't remember why. I've purged that from my memory banks. I'm not a
Happy
robot.
Appy was pretty bad.
I never read that one.
You were spared.
Yeah,
Mikey remembers maybe that. Or he might not. He might have been drinking while we were doing that. I know I was drinking some ciders when we did that episode.
It's a good way to get through it, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah. No. We've had some bad ones. We've had some bad apples on the show. But yeah.
Back to the wolves, though.
I would not just also say it's like, I might count this as like my least favorite Icker Falls story, like Damp Lady, my least favorite Icker Falls story. I would not consider it the worst story we've done on the show.
No, not at all.
By a long shot. I just want to point that out.
It's not a bad story. It's just a very predictable story. No.
Yeah.
It doesn't really go anywhere or try to do anything specific. It just. Yeah. Again, I've said this multiple times. It's just a parent saying this to get their kids to eat their greens.
Yeah.
There's no, like, weirdness to it.
Yep.
But back to the wolves. I'll recommend it. As I said, I enjoyed it. We've been talking about multiple different reasons as to what's actually in the woods, if it is wolves or what have you. And it was just a fun read.
Yeah. So, I think full or 2.5 recommendations, since I think Mikey gave a partial recommendation. Yeah, you bastard. No, it's fine. Honestly, I was surprised because I wasn't sure. I'm never really quite sure how our different opinions are going to react to the story. It's sort of a Russian roulette a little bit. It's like, how bad am I going to be like antagonistic toward my fellow co-hosts on the story?
Yeah.
But regardless, yeah, like so. You can check them out at the Creepypasta, like all the Icker Falls stories, both submitted and otherwise. You can check them out at Icker Falls, A Quiet Community website. That'll do it for this episode. So if you like what you heard or if you didn't, leave us a comment in the comment section below. This gets posted, whether it be on Podbean, Facebook, YouTube, or Tumblr. We're all on Twitter, so you can send us messages there. With Mikey, who's at The East Stands for Evil. Gamer in Yellow is at The Gamer in Yellow, but without that W because his name is very long.
Yeah.
And I'm at Review Cultist. You can also send us emails at aldenterigamortis@gmail.com. That's aldenterigamortis@gmail.com. Where you can also leave us suggestions for other creepypastas, Icker Falls stories, spooky SCPs, cryptids, the like. We'll check them out and discuss them on the show. If you'd like to help support the show financially, you can go to Patreon, look at Aldente Rigor Mortis, and select the backer tier you'd like to support us at. We have $2 and $5 tier with special episodes, early access, extra content. For our patrons that are already helping support the show, thank you immensely. You're helping keep those hosting bills at bay, and we very much appreciate that. And to our listeners and the authors of these stories, thank you all the same, because without your listenership, it'd be like screaming into the void. And without your authorship, without your stories that you write and share online, we really wouldn't have much of a show because we'd have nothing to talk about. So, thank you. Until next time, I have been your host, Review Cultist.
I'm Mikey, The East Ends for Evil.
And I'm The Gamer in Yellow.
And this has been Aldente Rigor Mortis. Sleep well.